Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, bringing you the latest in mainstream and assistive technology news.
www.serotalk.com.
Sponsored by Serotalk, makers of System Access, iBlink Radio, and SamNet. Learn about the latest in technology, trends, and what's important to our community.
Plus, your comments.
And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 216 for October 20th, 2014. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Enger.
And I am now Apple event free, Joe Steiner.
You hope.
There's right. Still the iWatch, but or AWatch or the watch, but that's 2015, it looks like. I can rest easy for just a little bit. I like the way Google did it. Here's a blog post of all of our stuff. Moving on, that was much better, much quicker, much faster. Kind of like the way I can move a lot better when I have a really good cane in my hand. Recently, I had to have my cane repaired because it got stepped on an NFB convention like a bow, like I could like shoot arrows with it. But got a repair kit and have it all fixed up. And now I can actually walk without a divining rod and somewhat in a straight line. Just depends on the opportunity and the day and the day. Hey, White Cane Safety Day, everybody. That's what's really good about having a fantastically straight cane and being able to walk in a straight line is we get to celebrate things like White Cane Safety Day, which there were a lot of events around the country. If you followed Twitter and Facebook, you saw that many cities such as Austin and others had fantastic events and parades. I attended the ones in Austin a couple of times back when I was in vocational rehabilitation. And so it's always neat to see that those things are still going on. And some people tie great big promotions to them. I know that Blind Square had a promotion going on for that one day, and they didn't seem to be the only ones making news in the old GPS app news.
Indeed. If you and your not-so-straight cane had decided to walk over your city, you could have zigzagged all over town with a subscription of Sendero's Seeing Eye GPS app. But now you don't have to do it in a subscription model anymore. You can just pay one price of $299, and it's subscription free. Does this seem a little pricey to anybody else?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, if you're going to use the same GPS app for 3 years and it does continue to get updated and you get those updates for free, this does make sense to me, but the primary reason they did this was so that people such as the VA could purchase it on behalf of their clients, and those organizations do have rules against purchasing subscription-based software. So this was kind of a by popular demand sort of thing. And
by enterprise demand.
Really, yeah. And it got really controversial. People were like, why are you doing this? I'm not going to pay that. This just seems stupid. Okay. Don't pay that. And it's okay. This isn't actually for you. So, well, it could be for you if you just want to pay up front and not have to worry about it for the next however long.
And
forever,
that's a standard practice.
Yeah.
Some states have the same problem. You cannot buy a subscription-based service through government procurement. And so this is an option for those doing voc rehab or other mobility programs to be able to do that under federal purchase or state purchase. And the same thing came about with kind of as a licensing option for volume licensing for KNFB Reader, which came out on the same day but didn't get nearly the Twitter and Facebook rage that poor Sendero did for doing something that they were getting from large institutions that asked for this option.
I am curious about something, though, and maybe somebody can answer this for me. These are apps, meaning that they need to be purchased through the App Store with a particular Apple ID. How does an organization go about doing this for their clients without having information like an Apple ID that they probably should not have access to? Don't know how that works because they can't give you a gift card and go, hey, you should use this for this app and only this app.
There is volume licensing ways of doing things. It's a little easier in Google Play because Google Play, you can have like for education an administrator that can revoke keys and enact keys like for if there's an educational app that you're buying for a classroom. And when those students move on, you can actually reuse that app so you can invoke those keys and then pull them back and then give them to the next set of students because you purchased the ability to use the software, not an individual purchase of an account slash app. And I think Apple has some minor way of doing that, but it's not as flexible, I believe, from talking with Pete Bosley about being able to do something very similar in the Apple ecosystem. But that is a very, very good question. Otherwise, it's just, you know, hey, we bought a bunch of $300 gift cards for everybody. And yes, then we installed them on their accounts. Maybe, possibly.
Maybe we could ask about this on Twitter using the brand new Chicken Nugget 2.4 with cream gravy support. No, wait, that's not accurate. They do have blue cheese and ranch support, though, and they've added some new features. You can check this out. They've got a pretty lengthy trial. I believe it's a 30-day trial, and so you can check out the latest in Chicken Nugget with the ability to use multiple accounts. You can have a GUI interface as well as the beloved interface that's not going to work anymore in Windows 10 because those keystrokes are taken, but with the control windows up, down, left, or right, and things to navigate through your buffers and the like. So check that out from Accessible Apps if you are hankering for a Twitter account. There is, of course, also the SamNet Socializer, which supports Twitter and Facebook, and that one you can check out by getting a 14-day trial. You can actually sign up for the trial on your mobile device, or you can do it from your PC. So saratech.com/downloads, or again, iBlink Radio, connect to SamNet, and then just create your trial right from there.
Gosh, Ricky, you're talking about chicken nuggets, and it's making me hungry. We talk about food a lot on this podcast, and for some reason, we are going from chicken to ham here. What's up with this?
Woohoo! Isn't there a dish that combines chicken and ham? I think it's the cordon bleu.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, in this case, we are combining hats and GPS. Sure, why not? We already have haptic shoes, so why not a haptic hat? A young ham radio enthusiast has actually invented a haptic hat for the visually impaired. She developed this using some of the same concepts that you would see in the various Sonic Hanes that have been out here or there, and also things like from the Roomba that has the obstacle detection and the like. Mm-hmm. That's sort of incorporated here as well. And the idea came about because she had, I believe, a lab partner who had lost his eyes and one of his hands. And she was like, there's got to be a way that he can still have a hand free that would normally be taken up by a cane or a guide dog. So let's just put the sensors on the blind person and they can wear this thing and get information about the environment. So I guess your head will vibrate in various and sundry ways as you wear this. And you can figure out where to go. So you pair that with your haptic shoes and your pretty Bluetooth earrings. And I'm missing one. Oh, the socialization belt or whatever that thing was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So could you do cranial course correction then?
There you go. Yeah. Yes.
Awesome.
And another guy who is way into ham, and I mean radio, not necessarily the lunch meat, although he has talked about that often on End of Line. He has Body Bag Sandwich. Remember that? Yeah.
Oh, EOLshow.com. Yes. I believe that did contain ham.
Yeah. He's a big fan of amateur radio, and we can't but forget to mention that his special is still on the network. If you have it on over to saratalk.com, you can hear Buddy talk about all sorts of transceivers and satellites and Morse code and just a lot of great stuff. And Jamie, there's still more to come out of all that. There's actually more radio type audio.
He and Rob got to do some transmitting on a really old radio, and they were so excited about it. I was actually listening to this just over the last couple of days, and then I got to do some touring and look at some old vintage equipment, and stuff I don't understand, but I get when you do understand and you get to actually put your hands on really old technology. It's pretty cool. Just like if you could put your hands on a really old copy of, I don't know, Windows 3.1, I would just love to play with that again. Or
hey, that'd be fun. Or Windows 3.11, Windows for work groups. Yeah, that was the thing, I tell you what. Mm-hmm. Never got better than that. Well, actually, yeah, maybe there have been some improvements since then, like a start menu and the ability to search in a start menu. I really like that feature in Windows 7, and it's coming back in Windows 10. Yay! Yes. So there are people who have installed the Windows 10 technical preview. We had a podcast last week from Joseph Lee, and he's not the only one playing around with this. We have yet another podcast that's going to take you through some of the wonders of Windows 10.
Yeah, with NVDA and checking that out. And of course, as Joe often says, we don't talk about what we're doing here at Sarotech with products because we can't.
And it's not done. None of these things matter. None of them.
So listen to it, but take it with a grain of salt.
Listen to it all you want. Internet Explorer 12 isn't even in these builds yet. So anything that you hear is just absolute kind of, hey, this is where it started. It's not mm-hmm. where it's going to go. So play with Windows 10 all you want. This was really just a thing to get it out there to, when you hear technical preview, it's to prepare enterprise for purchasing next year. And don't freak out. The start menu's back. Everything's fine. Calm down. But there's a lot of features. So, you know, we get this on Android show a lot of, you know, what's in Android L and what's in this? And the same thing happens to the Apple Vista guys. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know until it goes live. In fact, we're sitting here pre-8.1 and we don't know. Because 8.1 hasn't dropped yet, and that came out pretty fast, and we're going from beta to a full version. So a lot of times services, especially with iCloud and others, don't get turned on until it rolls out. So if you're listening to these things, please take them with a boulder of salt, because we don't know. They don't know. Nobody knows until it ships. Then when it ships.
Will Apple put the sidebar back in iTunes 12?
Oh, good grief, iTunes 12. Well, we know a lot about that now. Thank
Apparently,
you,
apparently, not just the blind community is lighting up the forums. I guess that's the
community. Yeah, boy, howdy, people are upset. Although the blind community does tend to say, don't they know that we like this? And, you know, sort of taking it as an insult that they've taken that away from the blind. No, I think this is an interface change that nobody's really in favor of, but that doesn't mean that it's going to go away and go back to the way it was. It's really hard to say. Apple is, of course, going to be concentrating on being
Apple
all
Pay.
Happy about releasing its new hardware. Yes,
you
and Apple Pay.
Apple Pay, too, yeah.
HomeKit.
Sort of. Yeah. Oh, there is that.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Anything but the operating system. I keep going. No, I'm sorry.
There's the shiny hardware that it goes on.
I don't hate it. It
Apple
is working.
Watch, next year. I'm sure they're working hard on that. Yeah. Oh, speaking of hardware, Ricky, I had my brother over and he had his iPhone 6, not the Plus, the 6. And I laid it on top of my Galaxy S5. And while they're very similar screen sizes, the iPhone was thinner from left to right than my Galaxy S5. So
I'm happy about that. I may never get an iPhone 6 because they're going to be out of stock forever, or at least until November 7th.
They're all in China,
to,
just
Verizon.
Like all the Monopoly pieces I need from McDonald's. They're all in China.
Maybe I could get a new iPad Air or the iPad Air 2, which has a great ring to it, doesn't it? The iPad Air 2.
Airbnb? Wait, no, wrong thing. No, totally different thing.
iPad Air Wolf?
I'll tell you. Ooh, I like the Air Wolf. That would be good.
Yeah.
That would be nice. I like that. I tell you what, you can have an iPhone 6, but you have to watch the announcement from last week over again.
Oh, I listened to the entire
U2 album that is in your iTunes library. I'm sorry.
No.
Those are two triggers, and then that opens up the store to you. That's.
You know, Chairman Honeycrisp, I'm sorry, Jamie.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I have to say that little bit with Honeycrisp and, you know, each of them had their own Golden Delicious and the like. That bit was funny. The rest of the announcement, I hate to admit this because I was at work and I was paying attention for my job, but I actually fell asleep during part of the keynote.
I missed the Chinese translation. It was way more interesting that way.
That was one presentation. The little audio breakup would have kind of broken up the monotony, actually.
I will say Craig can list off a list of features like nobody's business. Craig Federighi going over all the stuff I'd heard in two other announcements. That was great. But he did it well.
He did.
Not fast enough, but he did it well.
And of course, you got the guys on Twit 35 minutes in and still no new announcements. 42 minutes
even
in and
the
still
numbers
no new.
Bingo was delayed because we didn't even get numbers until the middle of it. And then it was like, God night almighty. And did you notice that little one? And iOS is nearly on all the active devices. Eight is on almost all the active devices. Usually that is always the one that they lead with is this version of iOS is the most widely adopted and fastly downloaded than any other version ever before. Not as much this time around. So
did you catch the word magical?
I caught magical. It took a long time for magical to show up.
That was kind of weird. It's like, why did you use that word?
Jamie, what I'm trying to tell you is that this is more important because I'm speaking softly.
Yeah.
And they did do that. They really did. The whole thing was, and now
going to overemphasize how important this is. Speaking in your ear like NPR.
Amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, but our voice goes up and modulates upward while we're whispering.
Yes, when we're really excited about something.
Yeah. Yes, but you still have the soft voice.
I guess they figured after one more thing in September, they could pull out all the old stops because it felt very retro for very little information. New Mac Mini, hooray.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the RAM is soldered on, so go ahead and
Typical for Mac Minis, isn't it? I think they've done this before, and then maybe they stopped the practice of doing it, and now they're doing it again.
I still like the joke that went around on Twitter that said that the Mac Mini should come with 16 gigs and a $100 upgrade for anything else. That's 16 gigs of memory. That's all you get. Oh, wait. Oh, you want more? That's $100. There you go. iPad Air 2 does have Touch ID, has an 8X chip in it, so it's actually a bigger chip than the ones that are currently shipping in the iPhones, probably to push more pixels. That's probably a bigger screen and needs more power. That makes a lot of sense, probably. A little bit more RAM, and of course, it's going to be able to use Apple Pay and all sorts of other fantastic things.
A better camera? Yeah.
Thinner, yes. Better camera, and it's thinner, which is hard to believe because the iPad Air itself, which I own, is incredibly thin, but the Air 2 is thinner.
I've been needing a new knife, actually, and I thought about getting a chef's knife.
If it could just have a serrated edge.
I think I'm just going to get this and slice things with it.
Craig Federighi out now to go at slices, it dices, you know, at Julianne's fries and cuts tomatoes. Thinner than like the
eye chopper.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. The eye chopper.
That's a funny thought. there are also some new changes to the other iPad minis, as in. You got Touch ID, and it's pretty much about it. Boy,
and if you wanted an iPod, you can totally forget it because we're not doing nothing with those.
They feel like they're walking that thing off the plank, don't they? I guess the 6 Plus is pretty much your new iPad mini.
Oh, wow.
Because, man, oh, man, the A7, and there you go. That's you have last generation chip and hey, you know what? There's still the iPad 2 out there. If you want a bigger screen and last year's technology there, you know, I don't know. It seemed really, really weird. And of course we got Yosemite and a bunch of iWork. Those were updated, GarageBand accessibility updates and a lot of those, by the way. Mm-hmm. So if you are looking for the accessibility release notes, AppleBiz has a lot of those culminated and captured and collated. And also, it looks like Handoff is working. I've seen a lot of people talking about Handoff working really well between Macs and iOS 8 devices. So there is a lot of really interesting news out there. It just didn't seem like they needed a 62 to 82 minute presentation on all of it.
Do you think they'll ever change up the format of three events a year? I mean, do you think maybe they won't do that as much?
It felt like this was predetermined and that they wanted to have something else ready, but it wasn't ready, like either
something
for hardware
was missing.
Or software manufacturing.
I know exactly what you're saying. Something went haywire somewhere.
Yeah.
Not that day, but at some point in the process.
But they were committed, so they had to roll and And
supply,
if I've got all you guys here, we might as well make it entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, iPad and gold. I didn't really need that.
But don't forget the Apple Watch that's coming out next year. And eventually you'll be able to look at your arm. And oh, by the way, have you forgotten that the Apple Watch is coming?
Yeah. Yeah. That, I will say that in a week of new events, I actually enjoyed the U2 apology more. Bono actually apologizing for the for the album, which I thought was
funny. Well, Bono apparently
I have something
has
in common
glaucoma.
With Bono.
Yes.
Yeah. I now have a reason to wear sunglasses indoors because I'm trying to be like Bono. There we go.
I did cry a little at the phrase "poor blind Bono," but
Oh my gosh, is that a hashtag?
Wow.
Well, because he said in one of the articles that I read is like, okay, now you guys are going to be feeling sorry for me, and you're going to say, "Oh, poor blind Bono."
Don't know how I feel about that.
Trying to make a joke, not realizing that he sort of stepped in it when he did this thing.
Well, he is really
blind.
Yeah,
that people
and we need to be fair about that. I was thinking about that, Joe. That this is something that's not easy for him to deal with. I'm sure he's still struggling with it. And
life-altering event.
Yeah,
and I think he knows how many people do view blindness and is struggling with how to change that because, you know, he's been on the other side of the fence for so long. And
but he's totally insensitive because he's made us all have an album for free.
he was more upset about that than the glaucoma.
I didn't know what I was signing. I was blind and Tim Cook put this thing in front of me and I just signed it and said, okay. And I didn't know that they were going to do this.
See, if I'd only had a screen reader or a screen magnifier, something that could have read to me the agreement. No, I'm... iBooks is pretty accessible in the new version of Mac OS, be that named Yosemite. And Down Arrow. How do we feel about Down Arrow?
I like it. It's okay. It's cool.
I have not upgraded yet. Okay. I meant to. So you're ahead of me, Jamie, as usual. You're ahead of the curve, and I am not. I wanted to upgrade but haven't. This is one of the things that I'm really excited about, to have the sort of traditional virtual buffer navigation on web pages on the Mac. That's going to be kind of neat. And I am kind of liking the idea of using my Mac as a speakerphone and making calls like that to my phone, because this sort of means that I could leave my phone upstairs where there is reception and be downstairs where I normally prefer to be and still make calls. So that'd be kind of cool. There are a few bugs here and there. Some of them are minor and some of them not so much. So the Apple Viz team has put together a list of these, and it should be noted that Braille is not on this list because no one on the Apple Viz team who uses a Mac full-time has access to a Braille display. So any Braille bugs are not listed in this initial article, but you'll see other things, some strange messaging bugs and some interesting mail quirks and things like that. There doesn't appear to be anything here that's a real showstopper, as in this doesn't work, period.
Right.
But
right.
You'll want to look at it before you upgrade and say, oh, there's no way I can deal with that.
I suppose the most distressing thing, and I'm not saying it at all, is that some people are reporting lag. And I guess this is really worse with Nuance voices, maybe not so much with Alex, but this problem affects Nuance voices, maybe to a lesser extent, Alex. Some people are seeing it, some aren't. And reading the Mac Visionaries list, I don't envy Apple trying to reproduce this one because it doesn't seem to be anything real consistent as far as memory specs or, you know, any other hardware specs at all. Some people just have done clean installs and say the lag is worse than it was.
I wouldn't have saw that coming. Ugly.
No.
No, I would have thought that made it better. And I actually considered doing a clean install. I haven't, but considered it. But man, those are the worst bugs, the ones that you can't consistently reproduce. And people are like, well, it's happening. Yeah, I believe you, but we have to be able to reproduce it and see what it is before we can fix it.
That is a bit of a problem. I've not run into that. I've been running all the public betas, and I didn't see some of the issues that people were reporting. And I'm running a 2010 iMac, late 2010 iMac. But I am seeing that sometimes it can be hardware related in some cases. There actually is a petition about people with the 2011 iMacs and the chips used in the various notebook versions of being very upset with some of the things that have happened, which is really weird. I don't see a need to run right out and get a brand new 2014 Retina iMac, though. Good night, almighty, not at $24.95 to start. Yeah. Yikes. Yeah. If you bought a Mac Pro, though, you might be a little upset because some of the hardware in that thing is pretty choice for $2,400 when you were looking at like $3,000 for a Mac Pro. Therefore, some people are very upset about some of the hardware that's inside the Retina 5K, whatever the heck that means, resolution iMac. There is already a iFixit teardown out there on the 27-inch, which says that most of the guts are mostly unchanged. There are options to be able to get these really cool Intel i7-4G processors, which I imagine would move those pixels around on that Retina iMac pretty nicely. These are mostly aimed at people who are doing high-end workstations, graphics, and the like. There is, golly, very little reason to have this device other than I want it. And I'm going to go to the Apple Store and drool on one just to say that I saw one. But, you know, my iMac runs pretty doggone good, and I'm extremely happy with that. We're going to talk about a lot of this 8.1 and other things on high contrast. So from the low vision perspective, we'll get a check-in on Rodney to see how he's doing with his iPhone 6 Plus. And Byron's had some opportunities to play with some other retinized stuff. And those guys are really good about keeping up with all the latest. So you'll be able to get some opinions about what they thought of in the low vision category. Well, while Ricky and Jamie are sitting down looking at waiting to download or the any number of little things that can happen when going to general and about and then download upgrade, update, because we are recording right before 8.1 drops, there are other things for us to talk about on Serotalk 216. Namely, we're going to talk about lollipops, and then we're going to discuss Ricky liking to change everybody's grammar, and then we're going to have Lisa talk to us about fidgeting in our seats. All of that and more on Serotalk 216 after the break.
Looking for a cross-platform solution to quickly convert printed materials and PDFs into text, MP3, or DAISY formats? Check out Serotech's DocuScan Plus. For just $299, use DocuScan Plus on your Windows or Mac computer. Store documents in the cloud for easy retrieval and access them from anywhere. For more information, visit www.docuscanplus.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Serotalk 216. And, you know, we spoke a little bit about some of the changes that happen in OS X and, of course, iOS, which is downloading. Even as we speak, Mailbag is actually buffering right over there. I can sort of hear him over there buffering.
So that's what that Mailbag Busy. I kept hearing that.
Yes, Mailbag Busy. That's so true. Very, very, very true.
Yeah.
Can't wait to use Apple Pay with all of our credit cards. And that I hope it isn't connected to Orbitz. Ooh, that's a horrible thought. quick, use your Touch ID with Dropbox. That update just came out. The concept of accessibility and whose responsibility it is certainly something that's come up a lot lately in the case of Windows and way people have felt about things. And of course, there might be some changes still to come in Windows 10. And of course, we've talked about some of the great things that can happen with having accessibility built in the case of Apple. But then when you get into other things such as, well, again, Windows and Android, there is a little bit of a mixed bag on who is supposed to be leading the charge on accessibility.
Well, I think it comes down to, as is said in this article, principles are good things to have, but you also have to be pragmatic at times. We have one particular article in the show notes talking about JAWS 16 and improvements made to the Easy OCR. Is that what it's called? What is that called?
Convenient. I think it's
convenient. OCR. Thank you. Yeah, I was going through the thesaurus and like easy, quick. And the concern with some blind people is that if you make this too easy and if the screen reader does it, then people who design PDF documents are going to be even less likely to make sure that they're accessible. And I'm not so sure I agree with that. I think that people who don't make their PDF documents accessible are people who either don't know or don't care about accessibility, and they're unlikely to be aware that the screen reader has kind of taken some of this off their hands. And furthermore, I agree with the article in that, yes, we do need to push for more accessibility when it comes to PDFs and other things, but why would we sit there and go, I'm not going to use a feature that makes it possible for me to actually do something in my job or do something in terms of paperwork for my house or whatever. I'm just not going to do that because the manufacturer of the PDF should have made this right and they didn't. So I'm just going to sit here and wait and wait and wait.
Yeah.
Have you done anything yet? No? Okay.
Yeah, that's a tough issue for any, because it takes time for the screen reader developers to make this stuff work. So they have to, you know, wrestle with this question as well. And then if they come down on the side of, okay, let's go ahead and do this, then to have the general public scoff at it and be scornful and refuse to use it, that's kind of discouraging and a waste of time. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this comes up with Google stuff too. I mean, there are any number of Google branded things that could have improved accessibility, and we wish that would happen. But what about the things that TalkBack would work with when there are certain standards employed, and then just the third party manufacturers don't follow that? And so even Google accessibility has this sort of nothing on Android works and everybody wants to blame Google. And I think that people share the blame for this. It's not just Google. It is other developers who are not following certain guidelines or what have you. So that's a challenge too. I'm
so frustrating. Over the weekend, I messed with a NFL mobile app that's available on Android, and I was trying to watch some NFL games while out and about. Android Reddit, TalkBack Reddit, it was just that every button said button 47, button 36.
Great. Yep.
And so, once again, I think what happens for people who are new to accessibility or is not as deep into it as we are, don't understand that it is a shared philosophy. It is a shared responsibility. There are lots of iOS apps that do not work well with VoiceOver. There is a fundamental, sometimes misunderstanding that just because it is got guidelines that they are enforced and it is going to be working with everything all the time in VoiceOver, that is not true, especially with some games that require the layers that prevent VoiceOver from running. And that's why we had that great big conversation back in the summer about the weird stance that all apps need to be accessible with VoiceOver from an organization, which did not seem very logical, nor did it seem very practical when there are 30,000 apps submitted a month to that app store. I think it gets really icky when you have the accessibility tag in the Windows App Store. That can really be frustrating when you see accessibility. Yes. what? Accessible for the deaf, accessible for motor impaired.
Yeah, for whom exactly?
Yeah, and I think, again, we get into that big argument of one division of disabled users trying to put a flag into accessibility and claiming that word as their own because it matters most to them. And that can sometimes be an issue as well. And then we get into the really icky, disgusting conversation of, there are more of this type of disability than that type of disability. And so even in our own community, you know, on average, there are 70% low vision and about 30% total blind individuals being served by various organizations. That's where I'm pulling that number from. And that's also at the Job Accommodation Network if you're looking for things like that to verify what I'm saying. That can be an issue because then with web developers, and unfortunately I've sat in web developer conferences and heard this phrase, well, if we're meeting 70% of a target, that's good enough, isn't it?
Oh, no. Yep. And that unfortunately
that
does happen, though. Wow. This has been a really hard...
plane arrives safely 70% of the time. That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute.
That's okay, right?
I have flown Frontier, and I have flown U.S. Airs, and those percentages are about right, actually. Those are not...
Well, those are for on time, not necessarily safely, but
right,
still.
Right.
Well, that I'm aware of,
Oh, wow. Wow. This has been a really hard conversation. I want to feel better after this. Can I have a lollipop?
You may have a lollipop, and you may hopefully download it on your Nexus 2012 edition next month, because the
next
new version.
Next month. Yeah, right. I'm not going to get mine till January.
New version of Android. L was deemed a lollipop after a pomp and circumstance where Sundar Pichai tried several desserts to see who would make the L cut. And I guess I couldn't reach a deal with lemon heads or any number of other.
I'm glad they didn't do licorice, because I would have been
really?
Like, ew.
Licorice. I like. Dr. Pepper licorice. Oh, you remember Dr. Pepper licorice?
Oh, yes.
I never had
Dr.
that.
Dr. Pepper licorice.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Good.
We talked about that on EOL. It was good.
Okay.
It was really,
right,
really good.
Yes.
That was NOMS 3 back in July.
Got it.
The famous fruit punch Oreo edition.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that now.
Yep. See, I was trying to gross her
that
out,
happened.
And I actually ended up grossing myself out. Doggone it. Yeah, so anyway, there's this new version of Android L Lollipop, which has nothing to do with fruit punch in my universe, and there are a lot of features that will look very familiar to you if you are a Samsung Galaxy user, because there's a lot of features that got ported over from TouchWiz, if that's not irony. And so the other part that is probably not irony, you won't see a lot of these visual changes, because what will end up happening is that the visual version will probably be just grafted onto TouchWiz or Sense or other things. So they went on and on about some of the graphical improvements, some of the UI improvements, but those will only be seen in the stock version of Android. But it is neat to be able to see that there are some major features coming over, like battery life changes and some of the handoffs, more improved handoffs from 3G to 4G to wireless, like
better
Wi-Fi.
Better notification handling.
Yep, yeah, a lot of that, which again is very familiar. And in fact, the guys over at that Android show really talk about this and go through the change log and talk about some of the things that are coming to accessibility as well. So definitely check out that Android show, episode 33, released this week. And you can hear a lot more about what's new in Android L.
Okay, Google, give me a list of all your voice commands. I wonder if that would actually work as a Google Now voice command. I don't think so.
I do not believe so. But it might say opening Google and bring you to a page that has all the voice commands.
Or maybe you could say, okay, Google, what can I say to you? Or something like that. I wonder what it would take to get this to recognize that particular phrase and do something about it. Well, you can say a lot of stuff to Google, though, actually. There is a list of voice commands that you can give to it. And a lot of it does have to do with getting information or even calculating math problems. It seems very similar to Wolfram Alpha to me, because you can do a lot of this stuff on Wolfram Alpha, and you can say those same things to Google, like how many quarts in a gallon, or, you know, what's 25.3 divided by 6 or whatever. And then you can ask it things like, where's my flight, or where's the nearest sushi restaurant, and all of that stuff. I don't know if you can ask it like Siri. I didn't see this. What plane is flying overhead right now?
No, I don't think it's that good. And since this is Google and they're very much Star Trek based, they'd be using Memory Alpha more than Wolfram Alpha. Deep geek moment there.
Yeah, wow, that's
That's super nerdy.
Okay, I have to have at least one of those per show.
I'm sorry. Jamie, do you think Google knows that about me? That they know my nerdy habits? Yes,
I think so.
You think so?
Absolutely. Yep. It also knows what you search for, too, by the way. Just saying.
That's not a good thing.
And where you search.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Well, I don't want to know if you search in the restroom or not. Don't even tell me. I don't care.
I think we would be embarrassed to know that a lot of Americans, unfortunately, probably do that.
Yeah.
My brother being one of them, which...
If it's your own at home, that's cool. But
if you're like Target, saying stuff in the public restroom, like, okay, Google.
No, or sending
texts.
And
it's all echoing around the...
Oh, gosh, sending texts. Voice command texts in the public restroom. That is just not nice, not good. No. There needs to be some etiquette there. I've seen it at
people
restaurants.
People do it, though.
Yeah, I've seen it at restaurants more and more. And there seems to be this amazing, like, cone of silence somebody might have when using that, like they don't think their voice carries or they don't care anymore.
Well, there's that too. I didn't realize how many young people just do it naturally, you know, searching. It's quite common. Apparently, more young people wish they could order a pizza with a Google or Siri command than older people. I think it would be kind of cool myself. I would like it.
Don't do it on my Xbox now.
Yeah.
What's weird is that a lot of older people will use the voice commands to text someone, whereas younger people don't, which I thought was actually kind of strange.
But they'll use Snapchat and show pictures of each other to one another, which is perfectly fine.
Yeah, not only that, but apparently...
It's all icons now. It's all...
The one that was so weird to me was apparently younger people will ask their phone what time it is, and like, why do you do that? Because you already have to unlock the phone anyway
and do all that stuff. With Hey Siri and OK Google, you don't.
Well, okay, but that assumes that you have your device plugged in all the time, and it seems like if you're out and about and stuff, you would not have it plugged in.
Moto X,
is it too much trouble to look at your phone to see what time it is? Or
Moto X and some other devices actually have big enough batteries to make OK Google go through the entire day. Of course, it doesn't work with TalkBack, so I wouldn't really know.
Yes.
Well, you could watch HBO all day long if you wanted to.
Ooh, well, if my battery was big enough, I think on my iPad Air I could do that, definitely.
Yeah. I only have basic cable, so no, I could not do that. Except I might be able to do that soon. Yes. Looks like APO. I have no idea where that came from. That's a new streaming service that has yet to be announced, and I signed an NDA with them, and I'll be in
APO,
trouble now.
But
meanwhile, yes, HBO is announcing a streaming service. It's probably going to come out at some point in 2015, and you'll be able to pay for it even if you don't have cable. So they're like, all these cord cutters, we need to get them
really
on board.
Really popular for about 2 months while Game of Thrones is on, and then nobody uses it again.
Then nobody cares. Well, they'll have other series, maybe not quite as popular as Game of Thrones, but they'll have other stuff that people will buy it for. I was going to say True Blood, but that one's over too, isn't it?
Yep. I haven't even watched season 7, and I'm happy it's over. And I watched all the other seasons, but yeah. There are several, you know, big name things that are happening on HBO, and certainly original content seems to be the way things are going. Netflix stock took a bite after that. But it's kind of funny because people will feel very different about that come February or March when House of Cards comes back around or Orange is the New Black. And unfortunately, these subscription-based services are seeing a lot of one-monthers. You know, I come in, I take a trial for a month, or I come in and I watch the big show that everybody's watching, and then I'm out. There's, you know, I don't need to see all these old movies like Airplane 1, 2, and 3. I've seen those movies. I don't need them on HBO. And it still does remain to be seen just what this will have. Will it have a back catalog? Because now with Amazon Prime, you can get a lot of old shows back catalogs on Amazon Prime, like Sopranos or The Wire. Ooh, love The Wire. That was a good show.
Criminal Minds.
Deadwood.
I don't know about Criminal Minds on it. I take that back on Amazon Prime. I know it's on Netflix.
On Amazon Prime, I don't know, but you could use it on a CBS app.
Yeah. Yes, you could.
You could do that.
CBS is saying, hey, wait, don't
we want to do that too.
HBO all the love. Yeah, we're going to try this app thing too.
If you like these eight shows.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much. And why wouldn't you? And I think they actually announced pricing for this. Like it's going to be $8 a month or something, which is comparable to Netflix. So, you know, that's
a
little
lot
bit crazy.
Less than Netflix.
Exactly. I mean, that's when you're like making the decision as you're budgeting monthly. Do I get Netflix where I can get Good Eats now? Yay. Love Good Eats.
Chopped. And also Cutthroat Kitchen.
Yes. And also all these cool movies and documentaries and a bunch of other stuff. Or do I get the CBS app where I can watch that one show that I like sometimes?
Or does it become, because CBS is Viacom, does it become that app then connects to these other apps, and then for, you know, $30 a month, you can get Comedy Central and MTV, and basically they're
so now you're getting a cable bundles. Package that yes. is a cord-killed cable package. Okay, yeah, sure.
You don't get NFL because the NFL owns the rights to that, so you'd have to go get NFL Now. To be able to
yeah, but you can be on
games.
Verizon and get that for free. Woo-hoo! If you get the right.
Yes, I am. I was watching the Cowboys game in the middle of nowhere, Texas yesterday. It was awesome. I don't want to look at my data cap, but I thought it was great.
Cross that bridge
so
when you come.
That's why Verizon offers this for free. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
You have to have the important things in life, and watching the Cowboys-Giants game was one of those important things. Yeah, just saying.
I'll tell you something else that could be important, and that is if you are in an area where there is a disaster of some sort, you might need to let your friends and family know that you're okay, and Facebook is making that possible. The only thing I found a little bit ironic about this is that you can say, yes, I'm okay, but if you're not, Facebook's like, well, sorry, that's going to be a little too complicated to sort out, so we're not even going to offer you the option of saying,
on
hey, I'm in trouble.
Last night was that there's no help, I'm under a rock, or, you know, there's.
Yeah, Facebook's like, we don't want to be involved in that.
That's too much like a down thumb. That's too much like an unlike or a dislike. Right. No. It's like, it's all like, it's all good. Everything's good. Thumbs up, everybody. But a safety check.
Emergency service providers, you may know, that's what they'll do. And then you can like friend them while you're sitting there.
And you ask Siri, there are 5 substations near you. But there are a lot of people that were using Twitter to do the exact same thing during political unrest, during the tsunami, which is where some of this came out of. People were just looking for a quick way to know that somebody was okay in a natural disaster. And so it's at least a step forward. Facebook has been making a lot of crazy steps forward all of a sudden, which means maybe there's some things that are starting to gel at Facebook in a positive way. But I think it's great for those who use Facebook to let others know, especially family members. Twitter seems to be more of a broadcast medium for individuals or companies, and families still tend to stay in Facebook.
I saw on Facebook the other night that so-and-so and somebody else is near you. It's like, oh, that feels like Foursquare. A little bit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a little scary.
Wait a minute. This is that definition of friends in Facebook that I'm not okay with. I like Google's where it's acquaintances or people you might not want to know in person, but okay online. Or they're near me, huh? Can I set up an alert?
Thanks for the
thanks for the warning.
Geolocation. Let me know if so-and-so is within 5 miles of me, please.
That's correct.
Well, coming up after the break, I'm going to graphically demonstrate why you don't want to hear me sing in the shower on YouTube. Ricky is going to correct all of our grammar errors, and Joe is, imagine this, playing a video game right here on Serotalk 216.
All in together now, we can make it better now. Come on, can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll rope it up,
because we know how to jump.
We'll roll it out,
because we know how to skate.
We'll cut it down. Swap it out.
We eat healthy stuff.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
Yeah, well come on.
Today's
come
a good on. Day to grab your kids and hang out with them for an hour. Dance, walk, play a sport, or cook a healthy meal. Because just moving a little and eating better every day can help make you and your child healthier.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll ball it up.
Cause we know how to hoop.
We'll mess around.
Cause we know how to play.
drop it down, drop it down.
We know how to dance.
We'll veg it up, veg it
veg
up. Can we do it?
Search We Can online to find doable tips and activities that you can use every day to keep you and your kids healthy. Remember, that's We Can. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Welcome back to Serotalk Podcast 216, where I am missing an entire bag of Oreo cookies that I know Mailbag ate. I realize that when you're updating your firmware and your software, Mailbag, that you're hungry. But please let me know before you just eat.
My fault. My fault. I mentioned Oreo Pop-Tarts, and there was such a thing.
Well, it's that, oh, okay. I don't mind sharing with Mailbag. I just don't like it when Mailbag just grabs stuff.
Went a little bit.
Yeah, you got to ask. Have some manners.
I should stop talking about Pop-Tarts. You guys still send in stuff about Pop-Tarts. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm telling you. Who knew Pop-Tarts were such a thing?
Yes, it is quite surprising, actually. And Mailbag loves those just as much as the next person. And in fact, I think Greg Woker is bribing Mailbag with Pop-Tarts or maybe like Funyuns or I don't know. Mailbag will eat just about anything. But here Greg is in the mailbag again. So yeah, I think there's something going on there. Greg's talking about several things, and in keeping with the Pop-Tart theme, his favorites were the cinnamon and brown sugar ones. And then he's talking about when we mentioned Sharper Image, there were Sharper Images in the mall. And it just kind of made him think about all the old stores that were in the mall and aren't necessarily there anymore. Like there was B. Dalton Books, the Electronics Boutique, and all these other stores in the mall. Yeah, I remember
GameStop.
That.
Yep.
Yeah, that they sucked up a couple of stores to become GameStop, didn't they?
Oh, Babbage's before then, Software, etc.
Yeah. So the mall used to be a very different place than it is now. Greg also talks about gaming systems like the Super NES and
Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yes. And are you familiar with this one called the TurboGrafx-16?
TG-16. Yes.
Oh, and you then do the Turbo remember Duo. This.
Yep. From the NEC Corporation. And
I would have bet $100 that he knew what that was.
Yep. I am
You're not going to stop Joe. Nope.
I have one of those in my closet.
Yes. No, actually, I don't have. I had friends who had Turbos, who had Turbo 16s and then Turbo CD-ROMs, actually. I played a couple of Working Designs games, Cosmic Fantasy 2 and a couple others that were only available on that. And it was pretty rare to find people who had TGs, about as rare as it was to find people who had Ataris, Atari Jaguars. In fact, I think from EOL, I tweeted this morning the top 100 N64 music games or games with music. And there was a lot of games in there I never played. I was actually surprised. Never a big fan of the N64. But I worked its launch. I actually worked its launch when I was at Incredible Universe. But TG 16 Bonk was the big mascot. And it was a caveman that would go around bonking things with his head instead of jumping on them like Mario or spinning through them like Sonic.
Interesting. Hmm. That might have been kind of fun to play. It sounds kind of like an interesting soundscape or theme or some such, which is actually the subject of the next email from Janine, and she's talking about when we were mentioning the old versions of Windows and, say, 95 and 98. The one thing that she misses from those days is the office assistant, Clippy. That's what that was called. Yes.
And you're one of the few who ever did miss Clippy.
Well, yes. It actually, she does admit that it wasn't very assistive. But it did have some really neat sounds that it would make when you would do stuff. And so that was, you know, kind of cool to have.
I changed mine to the puppy, and then you could put your mouse down there, and you could pet it, and it would wag its tail.
Nice. Yeah, her favorite was the dolphin, which I think would be kind of neat.
Like Clippy came back in a funny movie for Office 2010. It was Clippy the movie, and it was like a 24-style thing, and they were looking for someone, you know, it was like, oh my God, he's gone, we can't find him. And then it was Clippy at the very end. And Microsoft makes winks and nods to it, not Microsoft Bob, oddly enough, but they do recognize Clippy from the past. And I think that was even an April Fool's joke from Microsoft, was about the return of Clippy.
Oh, that's funny. She does suggest, and I'll whisper this in case M-A-I-L-P-A-G is listening. She talks about having possibly a mailbag soundscape theme that,
oh, good
you know,
heavens.
Yeah, various and sundry mailbag noises happen when certain actions are performed. I'm a little scared.
I think some noises are not suitable for.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a Windows theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just have to take pictures of mailbag and
the mailbag screen.
A smaller
saver.
Version yeah. of the theme, so that way you have it on shutdown and restart. You ever? Oh, you ever?
And when you open
theme?
Outlook, it'll have the opening of the mailbag sound.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever find the perfect theme and it always had the longer than snot, gigantic, like ending noise? And you're like, oh, I love it for
yeah,
other reason,
like,
but this.
Just shut yeah. down.
Yeah.
Is your computer's making noise over there? Yeah, it's 3 minute song.
it'll shut down eventually. Last up, we've got an email from Mr. Augustine, whose first name I cannot pronounce. Terribly sorry. I guess it could be Ms. Augustine, but I'm just getting the sense that perhaps this is a male, or I could be wrong, or it could be like a mailbag, one or the other. In any case, the question is about NVDA, and the thing that is not so pleasant about NVDA, according to the email, is the eSpeak voice, and I will totally agree with this. So those of you who are using NVDA, there are suggestions on the website, but anybody want to chime in with the voices they particularly like for NVDA? I mean, there are the vocalizer voices, which I'm not... Yes. Thank you, the one person on the planet who likes eSpeak. You have now spoken. There are vocalizer voices. I'm not a big fan of those. You can get Sappy 5 voices to work with NVDA. So if you've bought them for other programs, they can be used in that way. And I unfortunately have no other recommendations. Also, is there a good place to get tips and tricks for a new user of NVDA? There's probably an NVDA mailing list of some kind.
Go back to Top Tech Tidbits will occasionally come out with links to NVDA tutorials and articles. So if you're not reading that over at Flying Blind, you probably should take a look over there, because Dean and Larry do a good job at coming up with stories. And we look at those stories when we're putting together this show, and they look at our show when putting together their tips and the like. So that is a good place of looking. Going to the NVDA website itself also. And I agree with Ricky, a mailing list is possibly a good way of catching up on things, or joining in on one of the betas. Because if you start involving yourself in the NVDA beta groups, you can learn a lot. And NVDA themselves do some really good presentations. Buddy attended one of their big summits recently where they talked about the future and what they wanted to do. And that website is constantly updating and changing. So definitely head over that way to find out more about NVDA.
Well, this week we featured our resources at serotalk.com email address and used a lot of email from you, our loyal listeners. We really appreciate that. Certainly send us iReports using iBlink Radio on your preferred device, be that Android, iOS, Mac, or Kindle Fire. And go over to serotalk.com. As you're looking at the show notes, go ahead and write a blog comment while you're there. If you happen to be over at iTunes and you want to take a look at our podcast over there, please rate the show very highly and write a nice review. We would appreciate that. And Twitter.com/Serotalk will give you a sneak preview of things that may be coming in upcoming podcasts. It's time now for Roundabout. Well, you know, I have been one of these people who has forever and a day said, I don't really, you know, yeah, privacy is important, but I don't spend a lot of time worrying about it because people are going to find out what they need to find out and, you know, yada, yada. This article kind of brings up a point which I think is pretty reasonable, and that is it really is kind of the principle of the thing. I mean, yeah, I might choose to write the perfect country song while I am shaving, but I'm probably not going to put that on Audioboo, and I'm not going to submit it on YouTube just because, well, it's pretty stupid, you know.
Some people have, however.
Well, yeah, but and yes. That's another reason why I don't, actually. I listen to things that people have done and think, oh, wow, they shouldn't have done that.
This is a good point, though. This is something certainly that you should listen to. You should listen to the entire talk on this, which may or may not mention lawnmowers in the background. I think it doesn't. But in any case, this is a very good point about how even if you think that you're not doing anything questionable, there are still differences between a public and a private life, as there should be. And it's not so much about that you have things to hide. It's more about being able to make that distinction between these two things and still have the freedom to make that distinction.
So, Joe, I guess we don't need to know all of the high scores that you get on all the games that you play, unless you just choose to share them with us.
I'm just being quiet because I share everything with Google, so I don't know that I have anything to say on this subject.
I think we all do, whether we like it or not.
For testing purposes. No, I think about the YouTube stars who are recognized instantly online but go to McDonald's and are not recognized, and they have this weird disconnect of their online and offline life. And there are some things that people feel very open about or feel like they want to be open about. As someone who has been an on-again, off-again social media person, I can understand that. And, you know, I sort of go into the weekend mode. I don't often stay connected online because as I have gotten older and been doing this a while in technology, I just like the idea of being disconnected. So this weekend, I violated that by connecting to the Cowboys game. But other than that, I kind of stayed away from these kinds of things because there just has to be that division. I think there has to be that understanding. I know some people would love to be just all up in cyberspace and just kick meat space to the curb, but I'm not one of those people. And I don't think, you know, that I'm one of my family members that wants to share what they've had for dinner with pictures of food. You know, that's Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram is like lots of pictures of food and like, that's not what I'm into. That's not what I'm looking for. But there are people who adore that, who I have been at conferences or I've posted something and somebody has said to me, oh yeah, no, I know what's going on because you blah, 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 blah. Oh yeah, I just put it up there and didn't think about that could be misread or interpreted a certain way. But there are people who entirely meet each other at these conferences and know everything about this other person because that other person has been throwing it up there online and I don't care to know that. So, you know, I'd rather like ask people questions and hear back from them in person rather than, you know, group read like a micro post. That just seems weird to me.
Yeah, well, I could care less what you had for dinner. Wait, well, no. Couldn't. How dare you people who say I could care less? If you could care less, then why don't you? And why are you talking about the fact that you could care less?
Literally?
If you can't care less, then that's a big deal.
Literally
a big deal.
Well, hopefully we'll get this straightened out soon.
All right, where are the grammar rules at? We need to consult those.
Yes,
Lisa has them in her head.
I believe that.
Well, she might be wrong about some of these. We have an article here talking about some of the grammar mistakes that people make and they really get shouted at for them. And they might not actually be grammar mistakes. One of my favorites is the split infinitive where people always say, no, you can't say too boldly go. You can't say too loudly proclaim. How dare you split an infinitive? But this just comes from old Latin rules and, you know, people who knew Latin are basically saying, well, if you can't do this in Latin, then surely you shouldn't be able to split an infinitive in English. Yes, you can. Turns out that is not a bad thing. The other one is ending the sentence with the preposition. And I'm sure you guys have heard the, this is nonsense up with which I shall not put.
Yep. I had that one in so English class a lot, especially in writing pieces.
You cannot end a sentence.
Yeah.
But there are sometimes when it's like really awkward to not do that. You know, what music are you interested in? In what music are you interested? That just sounds bizarre. So
formal and stuck up.
Yes. The rule that they mention in the article is if taking the preposition off the end of the sentence doesn't change its meaning, then yeah, you should drop it. So where are you or where are you at? You don't need to have that at there. Right. But if the preposition actually does make a difference in the meaning of the sentence, it is okay to not tie yourself in knots trying to be like, oh no, I can't end it with a preposition.
Yeah, I just try to write at a fourth grade level, and that makes everything simple for me.
C-spot.
My life is very simple.
You know what would be cool? If there was like a video game where you got to answer grammar questions, and if you got them wrong, then, you know, a little grammarian would come out and go pew pew and shoot you with lasers or something.
That would be fun.
Yes.
There are things that could be like triggers, like audio cues for Ricky, like Hadouken or something like that.
Yes.
Sonic boom.
Sonic boom. Spinning bar to kick.
Sorry. What Ricky and I are making fun of is noises from the popular game Street Fighter 2 and many other Street Fighters. I happened to play, well, I was playing Mortal Kombat versus DC last night, and it was weird seeing Raiden fight Batman. I'm still not over it. There are lots of blind individuals, especially those that I follow on Twitter, that play video games. Not just Liam, who plays a lot of video games. It entices me to buy other video games. He is an enabler and a creator of video games. So check out Liam's games at Elworks. But there are others out there that have told me about how great Injustice is. Injustice made by the guys who do Mortal Kombat and have DC characters in it. Or they play games like BlazBlue or the more classic Mortal Kombat. Over years, people have learned that a lot of these games have sound cues within them and that they can time things in order to sort of play along. And because in a lot of cases, it's combinations of buttons. So up, down, left, right, or A, B, B, A, as I'm actually quoting the Konami code. And so there are things that you can do that can allow you to play a game that don't require vision. And it is absolutely uncanny the way that some people can learn timing, button presses, or play games that are almost musical, like in the case of Karateka, where the revamp of that actually had a little bit of a timing reference to it. And that was something I was showing Ricky when she came over for the AER convention, was I showed her one of the games that had this amazing soundscape that was going on in the background, wind and waterfalls, and had a musical track that you could time your punches to. Well, I'm not the only one who thinks this way. There is some article here in the show notes at serotalk.com that talks a little bit about this, and that a young gentleman also is fascinated by video games and has learned to play several of them.
Yeah, that's a great article, and makes reference to some old audio games of the past, Shades of Doom, things we've talked about on here, plus a new game that I knew was being worked on. And we talked about it, I think, on the podcast, Three Monkeys, that I'm really interested in, but I'm kind of curious. I'm not sure if it's actually out yet or if they're still developing it. I think they are still developing
it. Yeah.
Right.
But it's getting a lot of things looking into it. And of course, there's some amazing audio games that are out there for iOS, Papa Sanger, which we've talked about. And of course, The Night Jar. The Inquisitor is super popular if you look over at Applebiz. And it's kind of costly, so I haven't really jumped into that one. We've had interviews with Codename Cygnus, Solera. So there are actually a lot of iOS-enabled games. And, of course, Dice World is over on Android now. And JJ's actually shown some other ones like Legend of the Blue Dragon.
Well, that's going to wrap up the news portion of this podcast. But Lisa Salinger recently sat down with a gentleman who is working on a really interesting app. One of the things that blind people have to work on sometimes is
blind
not
people
fidgeting.
Got a rock.
Yeah, blind people got a rock. Or maybe they shouldn't always in certain situations. And this app will alert you if you are fidgeting or perhaps rocking in your chair. And so she visits with him about that, and I believe some other things that he has on the horizon as well. So I love it that Lisa and Buddy are popping into the interview space and doing some cool stuff. So we've got some great content coming in the next several podcasts. So you guys don't want to go anywhere because we've got some really good segments. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Finally winding down Joe's Apple News streak. He actually can breathe easy and we can talk about other things. Like maybe Google a little more.
There are other things.
Oh, wait. I got a little off the rails there.
There are other things.
There are other things. That'd be a good song. There are other things. We'll have to work on that.
Look, my software update says blank, so I won't know yet. Give me time.
Oh, well. Thanks, everyone, for sticking around. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
For the Serotalk Podcast Network, I'm Lisa Salinger, and I'm very pleased to be here today with Tyler Thompson, who is an adaptive technology instructor in New Mexico. Welcome, Tyler.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
I first heard about Tyler when I read a blog post back in July about an app called iFidget, and the purpose of the app is to help blind people stop rocking if that is a problem that they are experiencing. Tyler, can you tell me what kinds of methods have been used in the past to discourage people from rocking?
It can be a really difficult thing because somebody who's rocking or has restless leg syndrome, eye poking, hand flapping, any of these behaviors that I'm trying to target with the app, they're very subconscious. A lot of people don't realize that they're doing them. So traditionally, you've got a teacher following a student around and some sort of cue, whether it's verbal or a touch on the shoulder that says, hey, you're doing it right now. We had a student here who we touched him on the shoulder every time he started to rock or poke his eyes. And so that's one of the best solutions we could come up with.
And it is a good one. Before coming to Serotech, I worked as a rehab teacher, and we used a similar method, but it started to sometimes, I think, feel a little hostile to the student, because no matter how hard you tried to be pleasant or to be subtle, some people would say, you know, I think you have it in for me. I think you only think I'm rocking and I just moved or, you know, whatever. So there's, I think, some defensiveness that can come into play with that. But with the app that you're developing, that information is coming from the phone and it is just collecting data. So in that sense, a phone can't lie. It can't make a judgment call, really. You know, was this person rocking or not? So it can be kind of irrefutable proof to the student that, yeah, there is a problem here.
You're absolutely right. That's one of the first things that you have to combat is, am I really doing it? Well, yes, you are. But how do I prove to you that you're doing it? And so this app can be useful because I set it on a table. Look, it's perfectly still. It's not going off. Now I put it in your pocket, and look, you're activating the app right now. Not making the phone do that. It's deciding that you're moving too much.
The other nice thing, I think, about this app is that it allows any change to be made in a way that's very self-directed. If a person wants to stop rocking, he or she has traditionally had to say to a few people, hey, can you tell me when I'm doing this? Or maybe an instructor would say, hey, I'm going to tell you when you're doing this for your own good. But this way, if a person kind of has an aha moment where they realize, you know, I really am doing this and this is a problem, or maybe they've known it for a while, but they have a way to monitor and it's very unobtrusive because no one is coming up and tapping them on the shoulder, they just know. And I think that's a really important part of the whole thing. I think that, for lack of a better way of doing things, the way that we have discouraged people from displaying these different blindisms or blind mannerisms can be very infantilizing to some. It's maybe a different situation if you are trying to stop a 4, 5, 6-year-old child from rocking. But if you're talking about an adult, especially, this seems like it would be a really effective way. When you were devising the app, you, if I understand correctly, you first had to figure out what a rock looked like. And you said that each person's rock looks different. How does the phone, basically, to use human terms, how does it decide what makes up a rock?
This took a pretty phenomenal amount of testing to sort of narrow down. The phone uses its gyroscope to be able to determine what motion is going on. I basically have a threshold that says anything over this amount of motion, we're going to suspect that something's going on. A rock traditionally has a forwards part and a backwards part. What I didn't realize at first is that some people may rock more forwards than backwards, and that can sort of make things very difficult. So it started with me in my living room, rocking myself, trying to get the thing to mimic what I'd seen some students doing. The next step, I gave it to one of our rocking students and just had him collect data all day long. And so we're talking about a gyroscope running every tenth of a second. It's a lot of data to sift through after a day to figure out what rocking looks like. And eventually, after I got enough, I created a 3D model of the iPhone, and I applied the rocking data to it so I could visually see what does the phone look like in your pocket as you're rocking.
Oh,
and that
wow.
sort of gave me an idea of what my threshold should look like.
So it can, for example, distinguish between rocking and, let's say, someone is using a treadmill. It can tell the difference?
I don't want to say that it's that good, no. But it can do currently, and this will get better over time. Its greatest advantage right now is that it can tell the difference between rocking or moving around in your chair, shifting your weight. Subtle motions won't set it off. If all you did was lean forward because you're listening to someone, it shouldn't go off. If you're doing a continuous motion and it's not just forward, but it's also backwards, it starts suspecting that you're rocking. And given enough repeats of that pattern, the app considers you to be rocking and then alerts you at that point. Unfortunately,
right.
if you're walking, if you're using a treadmill, you may find that it activates. And right now, there's a sensitivity slider built in. So if you feel like the app is overly sensitive to you, you can go ahead and bump it up, and it won't go off as much.
That makes sense. And of course, if you were on a treadmill, the app wouldn't necessarily have to know that because you would know it.
Right.
And you did talk about the fact that you might not want to use the app constantly, but in specific situations. That was kind of fascinating. Can you give us examples?
Yeah. The idea that I had in mind when I was first thinking about this is a job interview. This is a place where you really don't want to be rocking just because it's not a socially understood behavior necessarily. And so I was thinking, if I'm sitting down and I've got a rocking habit, here's where this app would be really useful because it can tell me in a non-intrusive way, hey, you're starting to rock. And I can think about it and try to stop myself from doing that. It tends to work best while sitting down.
Right. And that makes sense, I would think, not just for a job interview, but any kind of potentially stressful situation where it would be easy to forget and to lapse back into that. I'm thinking about a funeral that I attended a few years back, and it was a very large funeral, and there happened to be another person there who was also blind. And the comment was made by someone that they felt that it was disrespectful that that person sat there and rocked like they were in their own little world and didn't have a care in the world. And I'm sure that that couldn't have been farther from the case, but in a stressful situation like that, the app could really help, I think. Now, you also said that the app would help or could help with things like hand flapping and such. Is that something that is built in, or is that something that is a possibility for the future?
That's something that's a possibility for the future, especially with Apple releasing their new Apple Watch. I'm going to do a lot of work. There's a lot more health monitoring devices, and I think iFidget can be used for things even like determining whether your hands are ergonomically correct at that moment. Cane travel instructors can use it to see, am I gripping my cane too tightly or correctly? We can use it to monitor stress levels and even start to indicate to you, when do you start exhibiting these behaviors more? Do you rock more when you're stressed, more when you're afraid? Does it happen more when your heartbeat is elevated? Or even what are the health benefits of it? And I'd like to point out, too, that this app doesn't only target blind people. There's a pretty significant group of people, sighted and blind, that present with rocking behaviors or fidgeting behaviors.
Yes, and it would be especially good, I think, also for sighted people because they don't necessarily want or need to be looking down at their phone, but they'd still benefit from the feedback. I had a sighted friend who would rock when she was upset. And one time when she was not upset, I, being sort of a geek about this kind of thing, decided it would be a good, fun learning experience to question her about this. And she was fine with it. And what I found out in part was that when she was upset, you know, that she did it mostly when she was upset and that she rocked side to side, which I don't think is the norm. But I thought that was interesting. So there certainly can be a lot of variations, a lot of people for whom this would be useful. I've worked with a few people who are blind and who have developmental disabilities. And it seemed that if they were allowed to rock for a while and that was not stopped, that it would actually upset them, which was interesting because rocking has been described as a self-soothing behavior. So a blind instructor, I think, would benefit from this app. Also, if the student were wearing a device or had a phone in his or her pocket, the instructor could hear the vibration at maybe a bit of more of a distance than one at which he or she could sense that that person was rocking.
For a setting where it's a more structured, more safe environment, the app does have a sound that it lets out when someone is rocking as well. So you can choose, do I want it to be completely silent and just collect data for me and I'll look at the data later? Do I want it to make sound, vibrate, or do all three? And so in a classroom setting, an instructor could give the app to a student that presented with a problem and have the sound function on, and they would know fairly quickly.
Right. It sounds like many exciting things are on the horizon for this app, and we will certainly look forward to hearing more as it develops. Is there anything else that's going on that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Absolutely. The same organization, the New Mexico Commission for the Blind, has authorized me to release one of the very first typing programs for the Mac. It's called Keystroke, and we should see it submitted to the App Store very, very quickly, probably within a couple of weeks. Keystroke is a typing program that's not only accessible, it uses VoiceOver to speak as opposed to just a speech synthesizer that the app creates. And it also works with a Braille display, which by happy coincidence means that it's accessible to the deafblind community as well.
Fantastic. And please do let us know when that releases, and we will be sure to mention that on our Triple Click Home podcast. Now, will this just be for Mac, or do you anticipate other platforms?
It's going to start out being released for Mac. I have a plan to release it for iOS devices, which I know sounds strange, but there are several people who hook up a Bluetooth keyboard to their iOS device, and it will eventually be moved to the PC. That's going to take me a lot longer to accomplish, which is kind of a sad reality because I'm not used to the PC programming world. But for Mac and for iOS, we should see releases fairly quickly.
Fantastic. And we will include contact information in our show notes so that people who are interested can be in touch with you. I'd like to thank you today for joining us, and I wish you all the best with the apps that we'll release.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us online at www.serotalk.com. Send an email to resources@serotalk.com. Leave us an iReport using iBlink Radio, available in the App Store and Google Play. Or call the Blab line at 1-866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.